Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Welcome to episode 76 of the Neverland Podcast. Hey, Jesse, do you have your Pixie in your pocket?
I always have my Pixie in my pocket.
Awesome. Well, we need to take this Pixie out of our pocket and sprinkle some Pixie dust. It's time to make the flight to Neverland.
Woohoo!
Well, we got a few details, of course, that we want to talk about here before we take flight. Remember to visit NeverlandPodcast.com for all of your Neverland needs, including finding our email address, podcast@NeverlandPodcast.com, our Twitter at twitter.com/NeverlandPcast, or just go at NeverlandPcast. We have a Facebook page, just search Neverland Podcast. Also, there is a Facebook group, Neverland Podcast. And don't forget, we have a voicemail line, 816-226-6492. Call and let us know what you think about any movies reviews, games reviewed, whatever we talk about on the show. We want to hear from you, and whatever you want to share with us is awesome. Don't forget also to join the Neverlanders right there on the page. You'll see it says Neverlanders with an exclamation point. Go in there. You'll find all the instructions you need to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie. Why don't we have Lost Girls, Jesse?
Because girls never get lost.
They're too clever. And don't forget, you can also donate through patreon.com/neverlandpodcast. Anything you donate, half of that I do give to Give Kids the World, a wonderful charity. They have kids and their families that are, you know, the child is terminally ill. I almost said the family was terminally ill, but you know, the families and the children of the terminally ill families. I'm all messed up, but you know what I mean. They're going to Walt Disney World, and we're going to help send them with Give Kids the World. I'm discombobulated there, Jesse.
I see that. I hear that. Yes, yes, you are.
Oh, and I forgot to tell everybody, I am your lost... I'm not a lost boy. I'm a Pan. I am your Pan. I'm the Spider Pan. I am Jeremy. I'm with you every week. If you don't know me by now, this must be your first time. And if it's your first time, thanks for coming along.
It will get better. It will get better.
Yes, it does get better. Well, I have an excuse, though. I'm pretty wiped out. I've started a new job as a mail carrier. I've been at it 4 weeks. I'm working 6 days a week, walking 12 miles a day, and boy, are my legs tired. And my mind is not all there because I'm out in the heat. So it's been a mess. But that gives to an interesting story, though, which we'll get into actually a little bit later with some game news, something I saw while I was out on my routes. But guess what's going on this weekend, Jesse?
What is going on this weekend, Jeremy?
Star Wars weekends. And we're not there.
No, I'm not there. You're not there either?
No, I'm at home.
Oh.
Oh.
That's not so fun.
Not really. But you know what? We're going to have some Star Wars fun anyway. Just because we want to and because, doggone it, people like us. And, yeah. We're good enough and we're smart enough and, doggone it, people like us. I even blew up that line. Isn't that awful?
No comment.
Okay, well, I'm going to try to become a little bit more focused. I must use the Force.
So where is Star Wars Weekends?
Star Wars Weekends takes place over at Walt Disney World, specifically in the Hollywood Studios, although there's a new name coming for the Hollywood Studios, but we don't know what it is.
Yeah, Mr. Bob Iger kind of gave a spoiler alert at the shareholders meeting back in March, didn't he?
Yeah, so it's changing, and I bet D23, anyone who's going to be in attendance, will find out exactly what that's going to be called. Is this the third or the fourth name they've had for this park now? They keep changing their mind, and I bet there's still people who call it the Disney MGM Studios.
Well, the same people call it Epcot Center.
Exactly. And speaking of Epcot Center, I have been talking to a cast member down there from Epcot, Mike... I think you pronounce his last name Emke, but he has asked us, and we have joined, the We Be Geeks Network, which would explain the sounder you heard at the very beginning of our show today. So we're very happy to be part of the We Be Geeks Network, and make sure you check out their website and see all the different shows that are going on there. There's a Marvel-focused show, WDW Tiki Cast, I think, is part of it now, and lots of really fun stuff, a dining at Disney, and just great stuff. So go check out We Be Geeks. I can't remember if it's a .com or a .net off the top of my head, but you heard the sounder at the beginning of the show, so I hope you were paying attention. If you have to, search for it. I think that's how I had to go look for it when I was being invited to join. I had to like, well, what is this? Let me go look. So, but we're very happy to be a part of it. We actually, last week's episode was the first one I released on time to their website. I did go ahead and release the Battle of the Disney Bands episode on there, onto their website as well. And so every week, not only will I be updating the NeverlandPodcast.com website, but also I'll be updating our episodes into their website, and so it's really cool, and it's nice to be part of a network, and I've been listening to some of the shows on there. It's some good stuff. I think you're going to like it. I do warn you, there is at least one show that is not child-friendly. I believe it's called Disney After Dark.
This is Gary Ganoo, and the No Ganoos is Good Ganoos Show, the only TV Ganoos program guaranteed to contain no Ganoos whatsoever.
Neverland News from the Disney Parks.
Oh, but anyway, Star Wars Weekends. We're getting ready to talk about that. And there are some pretty cool things that are going on. And this is going all the way Friday, Saturday, and Sunday through June 14th. And now, of course, it's only on the weekends, hence Star Wars Weekends. But you also heard another thing earlier before we got started with the show. It's a little bit of what we call Stormtroopers at the Gate. It's at the Hollywood and Vine intersection. This is a duo of troublesome Imperial stormtroopers, which are ready to welcome the surprise from the dark side, and they're supposed to keep all the rebel scum out, which would be you, anyone who happens to be attending. And by the way, if you happen to be attending this weekend and you hear this show and you had a fun experience, call the voicemail line, 816-226-6492. Let us know what you thought of Star Wars Weekends this year, and let us know what you did. So what else is coming off of Star Wars Weekends, Jesse?
Before we go there, let me just say, I have never done Star Wars Weekends, but I love watching the stormtroopers at the gate. It's a great YouTube view.
Oh, yeah. You can just do a YouTube search for funny stormtroopers, and it will pop up.
Just do a search also for Star Wars Weekends. You'll see all kinds of different events.
Oh, yeah.
Events, parties, everything else.
Oh, yeah, lots of fun things. Even last year's Let It Go sing-along from Stormtroopers, which I'm still trying to let go of. It was funny, though. But yes, next event that's happening over there, Jesse, go ahead and tell us about it.
It looks like it's the Boba Fett Patrol. He's just strolling and patrolling the weekend event stage.
Apparently you could become his target. Which is frightening, because Boba Fett always gets his man or woman, or it, if you happen to be an alien and you are, neither male nor female because you're that alien, he's going to get you too.
I wonder if he has a supply of carbonite.
Exactly. Well, it depends upon if he needs to take you alive. You're worth a lot more alive, probably. But I wouldn't stake my claim on it. Anyway, a stormtrooper patrol is going around. The Empire's finest. And they're going to put their own bit of investigation. It's kind of an Imperial-style investigation. You better be careful. And they're going to be near the event stage, and you might just become a focus of one of their interrogations. So better watch it, because, Imperial interrogations, they tend to use those droids, with the big, long needle. Pardon me while I pass out from the big, long needle.
Well, I don't need to worry about that one.
Why? Have you joined the 501st?
No, I have an iPhone. It's not the droid they are looking for.
Ah, okay. That works. I unfortunately do have an Android, but I'm pretty sure it's not the Android they're looking for. At least I hope not. Well, you know what? I'm a pretty far distance from there, so they have a long way to go to catch me. But of course, if they jumped hyperspace... Well, they'd probably just shoot right over my head. That'd be way too fast to just go from Orlando to Kansas City. So, I'm not that worried.
But the best way... One of my favorite things about the weekend, just in reading about it, is the Star Wars Celebrity Motorcade at the start of every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just how it sounds. You get your celebrities, your guest speakers, the presentations, just being driven down the street to where they're going.
Which is awesome. If I ever get a chance to go, I've definitely got to be there early enough to check it out. And then you have to stay all the way till the end of the night, because Symphony in the Stars, what they do, this huge fireworks show, and they use John Williams music, and of course, it's a Disney fireworks show, so it's going to be awesome anyway. But when you put John Williams music on top of it, it's just that much cooler.
Well, even cooler this year, there's no Mickey Mouse hat blocking the main stage, so you can see the entire display.
Well, there you go. So if you really thought that thing was an eyesore, it's gone. Of course, the only trip I've ever had there, the Mickey Mouse hat was there, so I've never seen it without. So I'm a little sad that it's gone, just because it was part of my memory from my one trip. But, I'm sure a lot of people are happier compared to me, who's just like, oh, that's gone. It did confuse us, though, because I had gotten used to the other parts. They all have like a central hub with a main attraction there. I had thought that the hat, the Mickey hat, was the central hub piece when we were there. And so we didn't actually go around too far behind the theater, and we completely missed out on the stunt show and Toy Story Mania and stuff, because we didn't realize it was back there behind the theater.
You didn't miss much of the stunt show, but the Toy Story Mania. Sorry,
yeah,
next time.
Big miss out.
Next time.
Next time, gadgets, next time. Okay. So what's next going on over there?
Looks like we have the Padawan Mind Challenge.
Ooh.
This is where you can join your intergalactic host for a series of fun and interactive Star Wars trivia.
Now, it's designed for ages 4 to 11, so I'm pretty sure they're not going to go too obscure on you.
No, this is probably more like, who is this man holding up a picture of Darth Vader?
something like that. Yeah, because I do have a Star Wars DVD Trivial Pursuit game, and it'll put up an obscure character, and I will remember the name of that obscure character, and then my wife will be very angry with me when I win. And so we've only played that about one time, I think. So, yeah. She doesn't want to play if she can't beat me.
Gee, I can't understand why.
Heck, I'm not even like the biggest expert on obscure Star Wars characters. I have to give that credit to some other people that remember a lot of these that I'm like, who are you talking about? So, yeah, my hat's off to those people. But they have to register for this, right? It's like an ABC theater table or something.
Yeah, there's some kind of registration check-in booth down by the ABC Sound Studio.
So make sure you register your 4 to 11-year-old child for them to do the Padawan Mind Challenge. And then, of course, the adventures at the Theater of the Stars, where you're going to see a spectacle of Star Wars characters and actors appearing at the Theater of the Stars. Now, see, I'm a little confused on what this is, because I don't know if this is the sit-downs with James Arnold Taylor, where he actually talks to the actors. Is that what they talk about? Or is this the stage that they do a big show before the fireworks, like last year? You know, they had all the different characters come out, and instead of being silly and having a dance-off, they tried to take the characters a little bit more serious, and they came out and did cool poses and had a few effects and things like that.
No, this is the sit-down
With James Arnold Taylor.
This is where. Go ahead.
How cool is it that he gets to do this twice in a row? I mean, I want his job.
This isn't twice in a row. He's done this for many, many years now.
Really? Wow. See, I've only known about the last 2 years, and I mean, he's living the dream.
did you see again on YouTube the interview he did with Mark Hamill last year?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and apparently he already is friends with Mark Hamill. I'm like, dude. That guy knows everybody cool. Well, for some more Star Wars fun, now this, of course, it's been nearly a year since the Friends of the Magic that you got to go to. Friends of the Magic 2014, hosted by Window to the Magic, Paul Berry, who's been a guest on here a couple of times and on some past episodes. But you were able to go last year and represented Neverland, and you got to check out Star Tours while you were there, right?
Yes, I did. I went through it actually two different times. But my first day there, I was by myself. I just kind of broke away from the group and decided to go on the ride. It was only a half-hour wait, which was not that bad.
Yeah, for a Star Wars ride, that is pretty good.
It was my second or third time going through the Saga Continues, the enhanced version.
Awesome. And it's definitely worth waiting in the queue line because, you know, you got C-3PO and R2-D2 out there, and they've changed up some of the audio with the droids from when I had gone through Walt Disney World a long time ago. I saw the original version back then. So, but I've heard some new audio from the new droids, and so really cool stuff. But we have some audio that Jesse recorded while he was there, so we'll just play that for you now.
Time to lose. Off with you. Go on. Group. Tour droids. Yellow strap to pull the belt out from the right side of the seat and snap the belt into the buckle on your left. For your safety, remain seated throughout your flight with your restraints securely fastened, and please watch your children.
Para su seguridad, permanezcan sentados con el cinturón de seguridad ajustado y cuiden a los pequeñitos.
Do not put on your flight glasses until instructed to do so by a crew member. One final reminder, smoking and photography are never permitted on any Star Tours flight. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask a Star Tours agent. You'll be boarding in just a few moments. Thank you.
Please prepare for immediate boarding.
Everybody in four, tug on the belts, and then back row, tug on the belts, please.
Okay, go ahead and put on your front glass.
Cleared for departure. Initiate takeoff sequence.
What? Auto takeoff sequence initiated.
R2-D2, what's going on here? We are not ready for takeoff. The captain isn't on board yet.
You never know the finest thing.
No, neither can you. We need a proper pilot.
Storm troopers will be deactivated for sure.
Hold it right there, Captain.
I'm not actually the captain.
We're looking for this rebel spy. Have you seen her?
Come on, Mr. Casper. What could possibly be out of the spy? Who did?
This is the speeder we're looking for.
Oh! Admiral Akbar. By now you know that our star speeder is carrying an agent vital to our rebel cause.
The spy?
Precisely. Deliver her safely to the rendezvous point I am transmitting to your R2 unit. Good luck, and may the Force be with you.
R2-D2, what are you saying? This is madness!
Well, I mentioned earlier that I had learned some interesting game news, mainly because of my job now as a postal carrier, which, by the way, hug your postal carrier. You have no idea how hard that job really is. So you definitely appreciate the person who brings your mail, because, boy. Anyways, but so I guess it was Tuesday that as I was seeing the mail, I saw some magazines. And I saw, like, big pictures of Mickey Mouse and some Marvel characters, Star Wars characters. And as I delivered it, I realized it's an issue of Game Informer. Game Informer magazine. I kind of, you know, wish I knew which store to go find and buy a copy of it. But they have this really cool cover art, which I have managed to find on GameInformer.com, the cover art. I mean, it is a fantastic promotional for Disney Infinity 3.0. And when I went to go look around GameInformer.com, I found out they are actually doing all through the month of May, every day, they're going to have a new article telling you a little bit more about Disney Infinity 3.0. They've shown the designs for making the figures, talked about another company, it's Ninja something, that went through and they've redesigned the combat system for the Star Wars figures and stuff like that. Lots of fun information, so I definitely advise go to GameInformer.com and take a look. I also did put a link up, if you were paying attention, on our Twitter and our Facebook feed to go directly to all of the Disney Infinity 3.0 content at GameInformer.com. So it's really cool. Make sure you don't miss out. They even have some really cool videos on their YouTube channel. Awesome stuff. Oh, but it's time for a quiz, Jesse.
A quiz? Uh-oh, I didn't study.
Uh-oh. Well, that's okay. Well, because we had a couple of pirates that were here, about a little over a month ago, and we had to induct a bunch of people as pirates, or they did. Not it wasn't us, no. It was these pirates guys. One guy had scurvy, even, you know. But they were inducting people.
I remember that.
Yes. They Shanghai'd us and took over the show. That's what happened. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the ticket.
It's the ticket. But anyways, we're going to induct all these Neverlanders into the Jedi Order. But in order to do that, they have to be able to answer a few questions. So we're giving them a few questions and answers. So, well, Jesse, what do you call five Siths piled on top of a lightsaber?
A Sith kebab.
Oh, you stink!
Why does Princess Leia keep her hair tied up in buns?
So it doesn't hang so low. Maybe I should pronounce that as Hong Solo, but I don't know. Well, why shouldn't you ask Yoda for money?
Because he's always a little short. What program do Jedi use to view PDF files?
Adobe Wan Kenobi. What do you call the website Chewbacca started that gives out Empire secrets?
Wookiee Leaks.
Oh, now, if a Wookiee leaks, I would stand clear, because I bet that's a lot of fluids.
Let the Wookiee leak.
Exactly.
What do you call a Jedi in denial?
Obi-Wan cannot be. I like bad puns, I can't help it. Where does Princess Leia go shopping for clothing?
At the Darth Maul. Why did the angry Jedi cross the road?
To get to the dark side. He must have heard they had cookies.
Yes.
Yes. Well, what do you call stormtroopers playing Monopoly?
A game of clones?
Although they aren't supposed to be clones. Oh, well.
Who comes up with this stuff?
I don't know.
What do you call Chewbacca when he has a chocolate stuck in his hair?
Chocolate chip Wookiee. What do you call a Sith who won't fight?
A Thithy.
That's a hard one to say, isn't it?
Why didn't Luke cross the road?
Because he got a ticket for skywalking.
In Neverland?
No, through Neverland. I didn't know you could get a ticket for that. Have we told the Woloskis? We better warn them.
What do you call two suns fighting each other?
Star Wars.
That's S-U-N-S.
Yes, get it? It's a science joke. So what do Star Destroyers wear to parties?
A bow tie.
Get it? Tie. Capital T-I-E. Yeah, maybe they should have called it a bow tie fighter. I don't know.
Yeah, what is a Jedi's favorite toy?
A Yo-Yoda. Which Star Wars characters work at a restaurant?
Darth Vader. What do you call a pirate droid?
R2-D2.
Oh, you stink!
Alright, that might have been a little predictable, but come on. When did Anakin's Jedi Masters know that he was leaning towards the dark side?
In the sixth grade.
Which leads to an interesting question I've been hearing. Okay, so is it Revenge of the Fifth or Revenge of the Sixth?
May the Fourth be with you as you celebrate Cinco de Mayo, but beware the Revenge of the Sixth.
Yeah, see, that's the way I've heard it, because Cinco de Mayo, a bunch of people like to go, if they treat it like St. Patrick's Day, it's an excuse to go get drunk, and then they have the hangover the next day. So, yeah, but I've been seeing, you know, there's also people who go Revenge of the Fifth. But anyways, sidetrack, why do doctors make the best Jedi?
Because a Jedi must have patience. How is duct tape like the Force?
It has a dark side, a light side, and it binds the galaxy together. What do you call potatoes that have turned to the dark side?
Vader tots.
Which Star Wars character uses meat for a weapon? Oh, wait a minute. That's your question, but I'll go ahead and ask it. Which Star Wars character uses meat for a weapon instead of a lightsaber?
Obi-Wan Baloney. What did the Rancor say after he ate a Wookiee?
Chewie!
You stink!
Why is a droid mechanic never lonely?
Because he's always making new friends.
That's just cute.
What do Gungans put things in?
Jar Jars! Why was Yoda such a good gardener?
He had a green thumb.
Oh, you stink!
What do you get if you mix a fruit with a bounty hunter?
Mango fat! What do you call a person who brings a rancor its dinner?
The appetizer. What did Obi-Wan say to Luke when he tried to eat a Banneth pie with a spoon?
Use the fork, Luke. That would be a Bantha pie. What do you get when you cross an elephant with Darth Vader?
An elevator.
Ta-da! I like it. It's a good pun.
What would you call Padme if she was a dog?
Pet me. I'm a doggy. Why did Yoda visit Bank of America yesterday?
He needed a bank clone. What's the difference between an AT-AT and a stormtrooper?
One's an Imperial walker, and the other is a walking Imperial.
Oh, you stink!
How do you unlock doors on Kashyyyk?
With a Wookiee. What is Jabba the Hutt's middle name?
The. Why did Padme Amidala keep her boots on?
They were too bootiful. Why should you never tell jokes on the Falcon?
The ship might crack up. What time is it when an AT-AT steps on your chronometer?
Time to get a new chronometer. You take this one.
Okay. Why do Twi'leks like flip coins?
So that they can say heads or tails.
Oh, you stink!
Boy, some of these are really bad.
And what is Darth Vader's favorite Disney song?
When You Wish Upon a Death Star. Speaking of favorite Disney songs...
Disney music fans, the time has come. It's the Neverland Battle of the Disney Bands. Your vote will determine this year's top five Disney songs. Vote now at poll.neverlandpodcast.com. That's poll.neverlandpodcast.com. And listen to the Neverland Podcast to see which Disney band rises above the competition.
Your favorite Disney songs are battling it out right now in the Neverland Battle of the Disney Bands. And we have, now this is the end of week two. We are still, of course, assembling our Disney bands from four categories. And in the first category called the 90s Renaissance, we have right now in the lead, I Won't Say I'm in Love from Hercules, which is still in the lead from last time. It's got 42% of the vote right now. A Friend Like Me from Aladdin has 29% of the vote, holding in at number two. Go the Distance from Hercules has jumped up and is now taking the number three spot with 24% of the vote. And we have a massive tie. We have Beauty and the Beast from Beauty and the Beast that is going toe-to-toe with The Little Mermaid with Kiss the Girl, Under the Sea. That's all got 21% of the vote. They're all hanging together for slot number four. Now, if I still have a tie when it comes to the end of this, we'll have to have some tiebreaker votes or something. So what's going on in the live action there, Jesse?
Well, it looks like Feed the Birds is running away from Mary Poppins with 44%.
Holding strong.
A Whale of a Tale from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea has 41%. This Only Happens in the Movies from Who Discovered Roger Rabbit at 38%. And kudos to you for spelling this correctly. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious is at 28%.
But Classic Animated is going to be our third band, which, of course, leading the pack still, When You Wish Upon a Star from Pinocchio, holding strong at 59% of the vote. Never Smile at a Crocodile from Peter Pan is holding steady at 41% of the vote. The number three spot, The Second Star to the Right, is holding on from with 38% of the vote, also from Peter Pan. And The Silly Song from Snow White and the Seven Dwarves is holding steady in the fourth position with 31% of the vote.
Over in the Pixar division, If I Didn't Have You from Monsters, Inc. at 43%. Put That Thing Back Where It Came From, So Help Me, So Help Me. Strong at 33%. Toy Story has the next couple. You've Got a Friend in Me. And Strange Things tied at 27%.
Yep, and it won't matter in the end of which one's in third and fourth. If this was the final week, they'd both be in the band. As long as you're in the top four, you are in the band. Now, it's very interesting. Put that thing back where it came from. Was in fourth position, I believe, last week. But it has jumped up now into second position. That is pretty awesome for a... It's kind of an unusual song because it's actually part of the story and then was kind of a bonus material that they put there at the credits. So I'm very proud of that song moving on. I'm very happy for it.
Strange things could happen still. It's not over yet.
It's not over. There are still 2 weeks for you to go down to poll.neverland.com where you will be able to find the links for the Disneyland Battle of the Disney Bands. You can vote as much as you want. And make sure that your favorite song lands in one of the bands to where they can start competing in June.
Dixie at breakfast.
Hello, customer service. Yes, can I help you?
Yes, I hope so. I've been looking after a boy. He's disappeared, and I suspect he may have popped into your store.
What's his name?
Jabberdy.
Uh-huh.
His second name is Hutt. So it's Jabberdy Hutt.
If we have a Jabberdy Hutt in store, would he please come to the customer service desk, please? Thank you.
Nobody's come near the customer service desk at all. Can you give me a description of him, please?
Yeah, he's kind of brown, a little bit overweight, to say the least.
What height?
He's quite tall, I would say.
5'8", 5'9".
About that, maybe a little bit larger, yeah. He's got quite a big tongue. If he's going to be there, he'll probably be with a girl who's wearing some kind of metallic bikini. I'll let you shout him and see if he comes in.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. If we have a Jabberdy Hutt in store, would you please come to the customer service desk, please?
No, there's no one coming to the desk at all, sir. What is his name?
Well, his first name is Hans.
Yeah.
And his surname is Olo, O-L-O.
Hans Olo.
That's right, yes.
Okay,
thank
then.
You.
Customer announcement. Would Hans Olo please go to the customer service desk? Hans Olo, please go to the customer service desk. Thank you.
No one's come to the desk
Can
yet.
I ask, if you see him, he might be with his friend. His friend's really tall, quite hairy.
Right.
If you see them, would you tell them that Jabba's looking for them?
Yeah.
A Stuart Backham, but he answers to Stu.
Right, okay.
First name is Jar Jar, and surname is B-I-N-X.
Binks, yeah?
Yeah.
Someone by the name of Jar Jar Binks, please come to customer service desk.
Nobody's answering to that name.
Can I give you a description of him in case he comes forward?
Yep.
Yeah, he's a Gungan.
Yeah.
He's got big ears. And he talks a bit like this. How would Miss Attire? So if you see him, that's how he talks, okay?
Okay. All right,
okay.
Then.
Thank you,
bye-bye. Okay, bye.
First name of the first boy is Opie.
Yeah.
The second boy is Spanish. He's called Juan. The third boy is American, his name's Ken. And the fourth boy is Japanese, and his name is Nobi, N-O-B-I.
When you put all the names together, it's Obi-Wan Kenobi out of Star Wars.
Did you hear that, what she's saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
The man can hear you. She thought it was a wind-up, love.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she thought it was a wind-up.
Oh, dear.
We do get wind-ups here.
I bet you do, yeah.
No, we are definitely looking for them. I'm just going to put a call out. Shaking their heads here. They're all thinking it's a wind-up. They're all
sorry.
Shaking their heads at me.
But they're not coming
like
to the desk,
to
no?
Speak to the gentleman. He's on the phone.
Yeah, we know.
But the gentleman's on the phone. If you want them... None of them are believing me.
But
boys are very real. Now, if they come up, what have I got to tell them to do?
Tell them that Luke's looking for them.
Luke's looking for them.
Yeah. If they turn up, then just keep them right
keep
there.
Keep them right
yeah.
here.
Use
all
the
right
force
then.
If necessary. Okay.
Yeah. All right, love.
All right, then.
Okay, bye. This is not a fight.
Okay, now we're going to do something, you know, turn a corner a little bit and do something completely different. Because here in Neverland, not only do we love Disney, but we like a lot of other nerdy and geeky things. Jesse, did you watch Arrow this season or any season at all? Yes, it is. No, you didn't. Oh, my goodness. Well, Arrow, of course, is based off of DC's Green Arrow. And I got to go to Planet Comic-Con. Wow, it's been a couple of months now. And at the Planet Comic-Con, we had Stephen Amell, who plays Arrow, Oliver Queen, himself. And I have some audio, which I have been sitting on because he did tell a few spoilers, and so I really didn't want to play any of the audio until we have completed the third season, which did actually wrap up this past week.
Welcome to Kansas. I'm so sorry I'm late. I took a 10-minute break to have some Kansas City barbecue.
I got the email from Kirk with the panel list of who's going to moderate which panel. Oh, cool. I can see him now. Oh, crap. I got to do sit-ups.
the workout that you have on the show, I mean,
yeah.
that's got to be pretty grueling.
It's pretty grueling. I mean, it's like if Oliver has to know how to speak Russian or if Oliver has to know how to shoot a bow and arrow, like all of these things are things that we build into the infrastructure of the show. And the fitness is something that we put into the infrastructure of the show. You know, I get scheduled workouts every week, which is good, I guess.
Some fans appreciate it. Speaking of which, we're just gonna throw it open.
Yeah, let's do it.
If you could be a part of any other show and play any character, what show would it be and who?
I want to be on Mad Men. So here's a true story, and I've told it before, but I rewatched Mad Men. And when I was rewatching my favorite episode, which is the final episode of season 4, Tomorrowland, it's called. Mad Men fans, anywhere? Well, there's a scene in that episode where this beautiful girl walks into the office, and she's so beautiful that it basically arrests the office. Everyone starts coming into the office that she's in, and no one's getting any work done, and we're now married. It's a true story. The third time I was watching that episode, I paused it, I looked up the actress on IMDb, and she is now my wife. Thanks, man.
Well, thank you so much for coming to Planet Comic-Con, Kansas City.
Thank you.
If you could pick any Marvel or DC character and play them in a movie, who would you be and why?
Play them in a movie? Boy, oh boy. It would be too easy to say Ra's al Ghul. DC character playing a movie? The Riddler. Standalone Riddler movie. It's about time a villain got a movie. Who's against this concept? I know that fundamentally the villain is not supposed to be a protagonist, but I mean, wasn't Breaking Bad like the greatest show ever? And Walter White's a villain, so shouldn't it be like a Riddler movie? The Riddler. I don't have any inside knowledge, but I feel like that might happen eventually.
What's the most outrageous thing you've had to do on the show so far that you really made you kind of sit back and
it's a terrible thing to say, and I'm guilty of sort of the newness of an episode affecting me, and I know that it's sort of a cop-out to say the episode that we just filmed, but episode 320 is called The Fallen. And it is the most outrageous episode that we have ever done on the show. We had 3 or 4 scenes that, for Oliver, were just a fundamental departure from the way that he normally is. So for me, getting into episode 66 of the show, that's really fun because I want to do new things. But boy, episode 320 is outrageous.
Spoilers.
No spoilers.
Hi.
The whole thing takes place in the end of our body. What?
What is it?
It
takes
sorry,
place
this
in the
end
of our body.
It's a controversial subject, but Marvel or DC?
Ooh. Mm-hmm. What do you expect me to say? I will say this. I'm circling a movie that's not a Marvel movie. I don't want to allude to anything or establish any rumors, but I'm circling a movie, and as homework for myself, and this is one of the things I do, I'm rewatching all of Phase 1 of Marvel. Culminating with the Avengers, which I'm halfway through at the moment, and I'm really excited to finish on the plane. I've seen it like 8 times, but DC, of course. DC. Marvel's pretty good though. Really good.
Hi, I was just wondering, with all the conventions that you've been a part of, what is the best and worst parts of participating in conventions like this?
You know, the best parts are when we're filming, we get really, we're in the soup. You know, you're so far into the forest that it's difficult to see the trees. So when you come out to, I've never been to Kansas City. So it's really neat to come to a part of the United States that you've never been, and to have a room full of people that are big fans of the show. And so that's the best part. The worst part is that typically I don't have enough time. So I'm usually tired when I'm here. But I mean, there are so many positives, and I struggle for negatives. Thank you.
And there was a network thing this weekend. You almost didn't make it, and you made extra effort to.
I wrapped on Friday evening at 11 o'clock. I took a 6 a.m. flight to Los Angeles, where it was 92 degrees yesterday. Okay, we had a Paley Festival, and then we had a fun dinner with the Arrow and Flash cast. And then I hopped on a red eye from LA to Chicago, and apparently I sat on my seatbelt buckle because I got up and I was limping. And then I hopped Chicago to Kansas City, and then I'm back in Vancouver tonight filming tomorrow. Oh, God. But I'm so happy to be here. It's totally worth it. Thank you, everybody.
Loki or Thor?
Loki.
Mr. Malin, don't be this seriously.
Is my father here?
I was very respectful. don't mean to steer this away from you, but you're so wonderfully open on Facebook that I feel like we follow you, I follow you at least, so much that my question is about your cast. Seeing Thea and Laurel rise more to be kind of badass women, do you help them in their training, or what do they have to go through to be what they have become now?
Well, everyone sort of takes their cue from me because I was the first because I was the first one to do it. You know, I was the first one to go through the process, and you know, it could have been a show where the actors didn't want to do stunts, but because I want to do as many as possible, everyone else feels obligated or pressured or enthusiastic about doing as many stunts as possible. You know, Katie Lotz grew herself in stunts, and she's an incredible athlete. Katie Cassidy has been so enthusiastic. Willa has been great. I mean, Willa out there fighting in on Leanne Yu, fighting with Slade Wilson. That was, spoiler alert, that was amazing. And even Emily. Like, Emily doesn't get to do enough, but it's funny, if Emily is ever showing off her shoulder, they have to put the scar on for the bullet wound that she has. Everyone on the show has scars, is the moral of the story.
Do they ask you for advice on how to become what you are?
No, they don't ask me for advice, but I'm there for them if they need me.
Thank you. Have you done any on-set salmon ladder challenges with... Does anybody come in?
No one has the balls to challenge you in the set. Sorry, man. There are kids here.
Okay, two questions. First question is, like, you and the female characters in your show have, like, such chemistry, and I was wondering, like, how, like, you made that seem so real.
Because we're friends. You know, I've been on television shows where people don't like each other. And as a viewer, there's just something about the interaction. Even if these people are supposed to be deeply in love, there's going to be something missing. You might not know what it is. It's that the people don't like each other. You have to be friends, because there are, you know, there are friendly and familiar things that you do when you're friendly with someone that come across on screen.
Okay, and second question. Would you be able to take a selfie with me right now?
I'll take a selfie at the end with you. I'll do it at the end. We'll do it inside.
Okay.
You're the only one.
Okay. Thank you.
See you after the panel.
Okay, someone stole my original question.
Okay, Dan, so while you're thinking of a new one, can you show the audience how the wing comes out?
I already have another question.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll show the wings. Ready?
That is cool.
Thank you very much. This is my first application, which makes me feel really happy that you would ask me to do that. But I have a question for you. Sorry.
Okay.
I have a question for you. Marvel has kind of taken over the movie, the feature film business, and DC has kind of domineered the TV series business.
Okay.
My question is, do you think DC should just stay, you know, should kind of just stay in the silver screen? The TV series, or do you think they should try harder into becoming feature films?
Well, I mean, they have so many plans on the film side. I know that the motto at DC doesn't necessarily extend to television versus film. The motto is an overall motto. But, you know, that being said, we have Arrow, we have Flash, we have Constantine, we have Gotham.
Should they focus more on the TV than the film, or should they try to...
I think that you should focus on making the best content possible.
Okay.
You know? As much as I love movies, you know, House of Cards coming out might as well have been a national holiday for me. Because here you have, you know, a David Fincher-led 13-episode, 12-episode, whatever it is, drama that comes out. And what are you looking at? You're looking at, like, almost 12 hours of content that you can just sit and enjoy and watch immediately.
At midnight.
I think it's interesting that the model has changed so much that allows you to do that with Daredevil coming out as a 13.
Basically, I'm really fired. I think Daredevil is going to be exceptional. Steven Knight is doing it. He did Spartacus. And I just think that, I mean, I'm super jealous of the Netflix model, because they do fewer episodes and they can do more violence. maybe show a boob here and there. Say that DC, Marvel really focuses on being, everything is inclusionary. Everything exists in the same universe. And as exciting as that is, I think that every once in a while it limits you in ways you don't necessarily expect. I mean, it would be great for Henry Cavill to stroll into the Arrow Cave and be like, how you guys doing? But at the same time, making the Arrow universe the best universe that it can possibly be, with standalone characters and its own mythology and its own set of codes and ethics, I think makes our show the best show that it can be.
Thank you.
Thank you.
With the different hero characters that we've had show up in that universe so far, I mean, there's a possibility that you could cross over with Supergirl and
sure,
maybe with Titans. You know, Vixen is coming in as an animated picture that's part of that.
Yeah, I just did the voice work for Vixen.
Are you going to be a regular, or is that just the one, the first episode?
You want me to do it, I'll do it, for sure. It took like 8 minutes.
Are we?
So what you say a bunch of lines in the Arrow voice? We booked you for an hour. Okay, I'm done in 8 minutes.
Are we seeing
some people have wondered if we're seeing the beginning of a television Justice League, but I'm wondering if it may be closer to Justice Society or The Outsiders, because there's so much of your show that gets compared to the Batman mythology. Ra's al Ghul is there and all of that. Are we looking at the build-up to an Outsiders?
Well, we have another show coming next year. Spoiler alert. And it is a collection of characters from both the Arrow and Flash universes that, if all goes well, is going to launch mid-season next year. So you'll have three shows, plus Supergirl. Because Glenn Winter, who's an awesome director on our show, and my good friend, is directing Supergirl, so it's going to go to series. I'm just going to tell you now. I feel like, call it whatever you want, but I feel like we already have a Justice Society, Outsiders. I feel like it already exists.
It's just the name isn't there yet.
Yeah, the name's not there.
Speaking of which, when are you going to start playing Green Arrow? You know, Arsenal has his name.
You know, there was Canary, and then there was Black Canary, and there was Diggle, and it's still Diggle, and there was.
and
Thea is moving in a very speedy direction. I don't know, man. I do know, but I don't know. Yes.
First off, I just want to say thanks for coming out. I know it's your first time.
Of course, man.
It's my first time, so I can't vouch for you, so...
I win.
also, I wanted to say that we follow me on Facebook, so thanks. Makes us feel like we're important, so that's awesome. And so my question is, when are we going to see you on Supernatural? Yes!
I pitched an idea yesterday to the president of Warner Brothers TV, Greg Berlanti, who runs Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, just did Pan. He's a genius. And Mark Pedowitz, who runs the CW. And I pitched something called Fan Fiction Live. Everyone likes fan fiction, right? These guys didn't know what it was. They're like, fan fiction? I'm like, yeah, fan fiction. What does that even mean? And I said, people hand me full scripts. And so I pitched an idea that we would take Arrow and Supernatural and write a fan fiction crossover episode and do a live reading. And they were tepid. They don't understand how awesome it would be yet.
They will.
Right? Well, yeah, absolutely. So if I was sitting up here with Jared Padalecki and Jensen Ackles reading all this...
Exactly. And some of your sponsors, some of your advertisers...
Yeah, some sponsors, if we stream it, we put it... Look, it would get a better rating on the CW than Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, let's be honest. No one is recording me saying that, right? I love playing strings and automobiles. I do.
That would be good as a fundraiser for your charity work, because you do.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. I mean, from a charitable angle, I think it'd be neat. As for Supernatural, look, if I would love to be on it. I hope before it's over, the boys just have me come on and I don't know, bring them water or something. Yeah, I could just I could be in the background, just staring directly into the camera. Thanks, man.
Robbie asks for somebody to ask at your panel who you think would win in a fight, your character is.
Experience. That's what experience.
Oh, wait, you can light yourself on fire or whatever.
I'm just hoping that before the end of the season, the two of us get to share the screen together. That's what I'm hoping. Shout out.
Does Robbie and his panel said that you guys shot something together? Not something that the fans are asking for.
There's a really cool ad coming out for the CW called Superhero Fight Club.
Imagine that for a second. And that's what it is. but no, I'm you know, Robbie and I have been in the business for, you know, almost a decade each, and we've never shared the screen together. And he's a wonderful actor, and I would love to act with him. And so I hope that happens.
I don't know if it was Ray Berlanti or Mark Guggenheim was saying that now that you've done the crossover with Flash,
yep,
and it has been proven to work that you can have powers in the more grounded of the two shows.
Yep.
That the door has kind of been nudged open a little
bit. Kicked open.
So besides Firestorm, are there other powered villains or heroes that you would like to see show up on your side of the street?
There aren't any particular heroes or villains that I would like to see show up. We do, and I think episode 19 this year, Team Arrow goes up against the Metahuman, which is cool. Although I can't say who it is, and I don't engage or something. I can't. I'm on the sidelines. There are big things happening with the show. Very, very big things. And just without spoiling anything, I will say that I think that the greatest moment in the history of the show will be the trailer that we show at Comic-Con next year. I really do. Because after 3 seasons and 69 episodes, what was that?
This is a short name.
We haven't filmed it yet! After 3 seasons and 69 episodes, we are going to fundamentally change the show at the grassroots level. And I think it's going to be cool. Yes?
2 quick things. We're involved in a nonprofit organization that promotes positive body image, and it's called Rebel. We often ask people to tell us one thing that they love about themselves, so could you tell me one thing that you love about yourself?
I'm an actor. I can go on forever. Oh, jeez. How do people answer this question without sounding a little self-involved?
The whole point is just to celebrate something that you love about yourself.
I like my eyes.
Awesome.
You know what I like? I like my gray hair. It's coming in fast and furious all over my head, and I can't wait for the call from the CW where they're like, hey, how about you start coloring your hair? And I go, hey, I didn't even pick up the phone.
Second thing, we brought you shirts, one for you and one for you to give to Colton. One would be the best.
That'd be awesome. We'd give you, I'll take it right now. Thank you so much.
All right, Stephen, how are you today?
Okay.
It's good to see you. 2 things. 1, what was one of the most challenging things about Arrow in the Arrow process and how you overcome them? And 2, I remember our conversation about the idea that you had of combining the Arrow, Gotham, Flash universes together. Can you share that idea?
Well, I mean, that's just an idea. You know, look, I'm all for crossovers. I'm a fan of television. You know, and when you do crossovers, it's awesome. I got a chance to sit and watch the Flash Arrow crossovers, you know, with a group of people. And when people from another show show up, there's cheering and it's cool and something's different, and that's, you know, that's exciting. The most challenging part about pulling off Arrow was really selling the idea that a guy with no superpowers can hold his own as a superhero. So I really felt like people were going to have to believe that I can, you know, kick butt.
And you kick butt so much.
Thanks, man. Mr. Fury?
Soul Brothers have to represent. So, what's one of your favorite episodes or moments there with the character Deacon?
I'm sorry, say again?
What's one of the favorite moments or with the character Deacon?
Favorite moments? Favorite moments for I mean David has his own. You know, we did it last year with the episode of the Suicide Squad, and we have an episode this year coming up called Suicidal Tendencies, where the Suicide Squad rides again. And I mean, personally, I think David is so talented and so capable, and when he gets a moment to have his own episode, so to speak, or to be in the A story, I'm grateful from the standpoint of having days off. And I'm grateful from the standpoint that people love the Diggle character. I mean, you don't just... Diggle was called Diggle because Andy Diggle wrote Green Arrow Year One. Diggle didn't exist in the Green Arrow canon before he appeared in our pilot. And now he does. Now they've written him into the comic. So, you know, there's no particular moment for David that I'm particularly fond of. But I will say that there are things happening in the episodes that we're filming right now that are going to alter Oliver and Diggle's relationship, Oliver and John's relationship, forever. Is that when John has powers? Whether one becomes Green Lantern or not, it's not. Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams run, because the shows that there's been a little bit of a touch with Spinning having the drug problem early in the show.
We use everything. They use everything.
It's whatever they can pull from Green Arrow lore, or how they can use Green Arrow lore to misdirect people. You know, having Sarah Lance as the first canary, or maybe. Laurel and Sarah's mom was the first canary. Who knows? I just want to see Alex Kingston in fishnets. Oh, like really, really bad.
Yes, sir. Thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. I mean, this is amazing. So, my question is, on set, tell me about gag reels, outtakes, anything funny that's happened?
Well, I mean, when, you know, David and I have a thing where right before a take, we just yell, "What's in the box?" So for the movie 7, "What's in the box?" And David sent me, after my mom died, on the show, David sent me "What's in the box?" Sorry, this is Anna Thompson if she's watching this, but it's funny. The gag reel is going to go next level because of how much John Barrowman is now interacting with. That guy's next level. I don't even know. I don't know where he gets his energy from. I don't want to know. But I mean, he just brings such a levity, and I mean, I really wish there should be a sequence on the gag reel where it shows us laughing hysterically right up until the moment that they call action, because that happens all the time. And everyone's talking, laughing, joking, making fart noises, and then they call action. Wait a minute.
Neverland feedback.
Okay, we have some new Twitter followers.
Woohoo! Welcome!
Welcome, new Twitter followers, and I will try to make our Twitter as much fun as possible. I love interacting with people on Twitter. It is great. But Jacqueline McKenzie, welcome, welcome, welcome. Terrence Green, and here's kind of a fun one. I don't know that he actually listens to the show. This kind of just worked out that I followed him and he followed me back, but I'm going to claim it anyway. Tad Stones, the creator of Darkwing Duck, is now following the Neverland Podcast Twitter feed. How cool is this? Yeah, I'm going to try to be very, very nice and ask him maybe sometime to come on the show and talk about Darkwing Duck and all the other Disney projects. I mean, he wrote for Gummy Bears, and he's got a lot of other projects that he's worked on. He is still quite active, does a lot of stuff, and I think he would be a lot of fun to have on here. So I'm going to try to get him on. But speaking of people I'm trying to get on, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show, but Jeffrey Weissman, who we had on, he was the George McFly of the second and third Back to the Future movies and was on a previous episode, probably about four episodes ago. He did give me the phone number for Margaret Carey, who was, of course, the real deal Tinkerbell. Not the voice, but the, you know, because she didn't have a voice in the original Peter Pan, but she did all the character modeling and stuff. And I don't know that I should just call her out of the blue because I'm a complete stranger, but I am thinking how in the world do I want to approach this, because I'd love to have her on the show as well, and it will be awesome. We also have some great tweets. Thanks for talking about us and talking to us out there. Great comment from Shaz Bazaar of Techno Retro Dads. He's been a guest on the Neverland podcast a couple of times. They have a great show over there at technoretrodads.com. But he said, enjoying the perspective on Disney's Song of the South with Neverland podcast. I had the book with the Brer Rabbit tales when I was a kid. Very cool. Yeah, so there's all these books and all these different things out there, and yet no movie that we can access without having to steal it on the internet or watch on YouTube. Very interesting.
I've said my piece about that before. I'll leave it where it is.
Exactly. If you missed that episode, back up to episode 75, and we'll have a nice, you'll hear a very nice discussion that we had about that. And also, make sure you picked up the bonus episode of 75.5, where I did share the audio that was some of the tales of Brer Rabbit and the soundtrack to the movie Song of the South, and also some source audio from Splash Mountain. And I hope you did enjoy that bonus episode. I do like releasing those little snippets out there because they're fun.
Great for the commute.
Okay, well, I guess there's nothing left to say except to remind you all to keep a pixie in your pocket. Because, of course, you have to have that young of heart, good attitude, which even, well, I tell you what, when you have a rough job, and I know, Jesse, you have to deal with a lot of insanity in your line of work. I've seen it on Facebook. So, does it help to try to keep that that pixie dust in your pocket?
It helps immensely.
So, keep your pixie in your pocket. Make sure you spread a little pixie dust on somebody else this week, and spread a little pixie dust on your mailman, because... wow. We'll see you next time on the Neverland Podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast. Please subscribe and rate the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Blueberry. We love to hear from you on twitter.com/NeverlandPcast and facebook.com/NeverlandPodcast. Leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492 and send email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Join us next week and we'll once again go to Disney and beyond. The Neverland Podcast is copyright Glue Band Productions and all original content belongs to the same. Other content is copyright of their respective creators and is used under Creative Commons license.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.